I must say, when I saw that photo, you kind of just look at that and you go, wow. You know, if you listen to Louis Giglio, we saw sort of somewhere there. I understand somewhere here. Oh, Vietnamese. But kind of just puts in perspective how great God is and how almost insignificant it is. And then when you listen to David, who says, what is man that you think about him, and the son of man that you know, even consider him, then you're like, yo, isn't God awesome? And the fact that he loves us, each one of us, passionately. I think one of the things that sometimes you know, freaks me out is that God actually is very involved in my life, and even before I got born again, that he was part of everything that happened in my life. So I must say, in preparing for this topic, speaking on the dimensions of God's love, I want to almost say this is my feeble attempt on you know, maybe just bringing clarity to you of what God's love is about, because I don't think we can ever understand it in the fullness of how God actually does that, and how, you know, who he is, because scripture says that he is love. So I don't think I can do this justice, honestly, but, you know, we've been speaking this last while about being the hands of Christ, the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, etc. We're really pursuing God and wanting to become more like him, and, you know, have our lives changed and transformed to really reflect him in a greater way. And I actually prepared or looked at this quite a while ago already, and, you know, with the convergence theme coming out, you know, where is the love? It so blessed me, because, you know, if we look at God and we understand that he is love, then this is really a relevant topic for us. Now, if we look in today's society, we use the word love quite loosely. Not true. I love my dog. I love my cat. Sorry, but just bring balance there between the cat and the dog people. You know, I love my car. I love my wife. You know, I love my kids. You know, but, and we use love sort of as a blanket word. You can love anything. You can love money too. That should be awkward. I'm not sure how much he's going to love you back, but have fun loving that one. In any case, so we use love in a broad sense, but you know, for you that has been in the church long, you would know there's three kinds of love: the eros love, the phileo love, and the agape love. You know, the eros love is to explain it easily, it's the love between a husband and a wife. Phileo is that brotherly love, and then the agape love is the way God loves us unconditionally. And I think one thing that definitely challenged me in terms of reading scripture is to understand that is the way that God loves us, but how we should love one another as well. The agape love, the unconditional love, the love that, you know, doesn't matter what you do, he will still love you. It's that love that I experience towards my sons, that it doesn't matter what they do. I don't like what they do always, but it doesn't change my love for them. In actual fact, it's that love that when I look at my sons, you know, you don't understand this before you have kids, but when you look at your sons, I remember when Jamal was born, the first one, yeah, you look at those two little eyes there, you know, and you've had this 9-month journey. Well, as the husband, it's just a walking along, really. You know, it's just this nice, come on, baby, you can do this. And then the labor comes, and you're just there going, don't kill me. No, I'm joking. It's not that bad. But then when you have that little baby in your hands and you realize, wow, You everything changes, and you know, I'm sure you've heard this, but if you really want to understand the Father heart of God, then have kids, because you will kill for them, you will die for them, you will do anything for them. It's just amazing how God just changes and transforms your life actually in that moment. And then you have a second one. And it happens, you know, for those that are brave, like Nas and them, that's gone on to three and four. They must be more like God, I'm sure, because God works things. But let's read in Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 16. This is Paul writing, and he says, for this reason, for what reason? He wasn't bored. He said, you know, for this reason, the fact that he came to the realization that the gospel was for the Gentiles too. Now, if you remember, Paul was this quite passionate dude. You know, he probably did that too. But he persecuted the church in quite an amazing way that he was, you know, he's hunting the so-called Christians at this stage. So, you know, for him to come to the realization that the gospel was for those that are not part of Israel was quite a big thing. And even if you read the previous verses, you know, he's celebrating the fact that, you know, this gospel is for those people too. And he says, now, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength. Now, this is where it comes in. Now, you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. So, it's not just alone. It's all of the saints. All right? So, there's a family in there. What is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth? This goeie Engels here. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's interesting how he adds that little bit there at the end, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I think if we understand what the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of God's love is, we understand the fact that God is love. And I think the more we understand that and almost being transformed into it, the more we'll see the fullness of God being reflected in our lives. So, if there's any goal you will set, you want to set in your life, not just for the last 6 months, but maybe longer, is to actually know God in a fuller way. To understand his height and his depths and all the rest of it. But that's going to cost you to pursue. That's going to cost you to run after him, to spend time with him, to understand him, to... You know, if I think of the way that I understand Lorette currently compared to 24 years ago, we were sort of, was it uitgegaan, you know, that was about 2 years into our relationship, and I thought I understood her there. Now it's different. I really understand her now. Sometimes. Yes, I always jokingly say, you know, that as soon as you think you can understand a woman, they change all the rules. Yeah, they must just keep it interesting. I mean, come on. But there's something about this understanding who God is and this love that causes for us a dilemma as human beings. Because we are very individual and very self-centered kind of people. But if we look at love, we see that this love is everything about, but about the person who's doing the loving, isn't it? It's this, you know, this, like I say, agape love is that sacrificial love, that giving love, that pursuing love. Which challenges us, because if we want to apply this love into our lives, it means you're going to challenge a few things in your life. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I can give you half a chance, and you're going to spend a lot of time just with yourself and doing stuff that's beneficial for yourself. True? Generally, come on. So, if I give you half an hour of free time or an hour of free time, what are you going to do? Sleep. Yes, says a mom. with two little children. Yes, it's fun. Yolandi gaan probably ook slaap. Yes. Ja, see, it's all about the flesh, man. Yes, we are the Philistine. But is it, I mean, not that I say that that's bad, but this love really will challenge your priorities. And I mean, in this journey of looking at being the hands and the feet and all the rest of it, it speaks of one thing. It speaks of challenging your priorities and the time and everything that you put out and how you spend it and with what purpose do you spend it. So if we look at the length of Christ's love, now to me, that length, being a practical guy, if I know the length, it kind of sort of gives me direction. You know, I know what to aim for. If Benny doesn't know how the length of a foundation of a building, we've got a problem. Because if he does it too short, then the rest of that house that's supposed to be built is not going to be built, right? So knowing the length of something is quite important. Knowing how long it is, you can actually plan better, etc. Okay? But if we look at the length of God's love, we see that the length of that love is for humanity. He looks at humanity and he says, I want to build something. Okay, so we need to know how long this life is. And this will give us direction to know how to build. You see, because if God's heart is towards humanity, then we can build in the same way. But if our hearts are towards ourselves, then we're going to mess up, not right? So God's heart is to expand the kingdom. To expand the kingdom through reconciling people to Him. He wants to bring people closer to Him. And He will go to any length, can I, or to great lengths to do that. And He's proven that. That He sent His Son to die to reconcile man to Him. For you and me, where would we be if it wasn't for that fact that God sent His Son to die for me so that I can be reconciled with God? You know, you can sit still and just ponder that a bit and go, where were you on your way to before you met Christ? And what would it have looked like now? Now, I gave my life to Christ in 1989, so it's been a while. But I can think that I could have royally messed up by this time. A professional messer upper. Okay? But in any case, so God is to establish His kingdom. And His kingdom is His rule and reign. That we understand. If we speak about the kingdom of God, then we speak about the rule and reign of God. It's not a democracy. I think sometimes we do treat it that way. That we think we've got voting rights. No, it's His kingdom, His rule and reign in your life, which essentially means that whatever He says goes. Now, it's good to go, but man, it's when God speaks to you and He says, yes, let's establish my kingdom, go pray for that person, and you're like, devil, go, you know. But how do we take that into our daily lives to actually apply God's love, this length, this passion for the nations? How do we apply that daily into our lives? We need to align with the Father out of God in this way. His heart is to love us, to hold us, to walk with us. I mean, for me, with my boys, you know, you want to spend time with them. I actually like my sons. Sometimes less. I'm kidding. They've got opinion now, which is quite nice. It makes our lives quite interesting. But in any case, yet they are my sons. They are not my slaves. Sometimes I think they think when I make them mow the lawn, they think that I'm making them slaves. But that's not true. I'm actually teaching them something through that whole process, and that is the fact that if you're a son in the house, then you will do some of the stuff that your father requires you to do, not because you like it. But our Christianity has become a lot more about what I like to do rather than what my father wants me to do. Oops. Maybe I should preach that again. All right, so to be a son in the house means that you're going to do stuff that your father says you should do, not what you want to do. You see, and if God's heart is for the nations, if God's heart is for people, then he wants to use your life to reach people. And sometimes he's going to require of you to speak and interact with people that you do not like. Sometimes he's going to require you to walk to your neighbor, even though you don't like to speak to people, to speak to that person. I don't know. We all have different challenges. So can God entrust you with a secret which Paul speaks about? The secret which he says is for the Gentiles. This gospel is for everybody. Or are we going to be, what do you call it, partial in our presentation of the gospel? Are we going to give it straight up? Now this next scripture, Psalm 25 verse 14 says this, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. In another translation, I didn't have it on my PC, it says, and he makes known to them his secret, his covenant. The fact that Christ died for each one of us, he makes these secrets known to you. Okay? But it's for those, look at that, it says the friendship of the Lord, the friendship of the Lord, which is the intimate friendship with him, is for those who fear him. For those that reverently, worshipfully fear him, the Amplified would say. For those that come to him who knows he's God, he is God, and even though he's God, he calls us friends. Are you in a place where he can entrust you with the secrets of his kingdom? Are you walking with him in that way? So the depth of Christ's love, what is the heart of Christ for this? It's for us to hear his heartbeat, like John did. In John 13 verse 25 it says, and John put his ear on his chest. The closeness of this man walking just with Jesus in that moment, experiencing, hearing the heartbeat of God. You know, God's heart, if you want to know the depths of his love, spend time in that intimate moment with him. Because you can only hear someone's heartbeat when you're very close. Now, I can't hear your heart beating right now, although we know they're beating because you kind of look alive. Some of you more than others, but in any case. So, but you know, the only way that I can really hear your heartbeat is to be really close to you. The only way that I can know you as a person is if I actually spend time with you. Now, if I've got my ear on the heart of God, and I'm listening to his heartbeat, and I'm hearing it pumping for those around me, and then I lean this way and I hear your heart, and I go like, hey, it's beating a bit awkward there, we need to fix this one. Can I share with you life? Can I share with you what God has done? You know, 2 weeks ago, I put out a challenge. I said, go share your testimony with someone at work or somewhere. Who did that? Two. Three. Anybody else forgetting that they shared the testimony? Okay, so saints, share the heartbeat of God. Share what is done in your life with those. You see, if we look at scripture and we look at Jesus' life, we see so many times where he would look at someone and go, and the scripture says, and he had compassion on them. Why could he do that? Because he had the heart of God. He knew the depth of God's love for this person. So he drew from that and he had compassion and therefore healed them. And I think in our day and age as individual people, we don't have compassion. Well, let's not generalize. But if we take your life and we say, let's take my life, and say, am I a compassionate person? Then I'll probably honestly have to say, no, not much, eh? I'm on a mission now. But I need to spend time with God's heart more to get to that place where I have the compassion for those that are around me. And I'm not just talking about those people that are down and out, because Jesus ministered to everybody around him. Okay? We need to know his truth in the depths of our heart. And we're only going to know that when we know and we hear his heartbeat. We need to be completely filled with the very nature of God in this regard. And when we do this, when we have this, this will help us to deal with our current reality. You see, because I'm sure many of you have done this, but if you put on a pair of dark glasses, and you walk into an office building where the lighting is not so good, and you've got your dark glasses on, what happens? You remove it. And I think sometimes when we look at society around us, our current reality, we look through a certain lens. And sometimes we must just remove that lens to actually see what is going on. And therefore, we can then, if we've got this, the heart of God in this fact is, we will engage in prayer for the different things that is around us. You see, if I've taken off the dark glasses and I can see clearly, now I can pray clearly as well. And if I hear the heart of God, then I can even pray more accurately into these things. See, we need to return to his word, his promises. We need to act by faith. We need to rebuild walls where they have been broken down. And we need to live in this place where God's heart is for reconciliation. For those that are far from him to come near to him so that what? They can hear his heartbeat. Now, Wayne, I need you to help me here quickly. So Wayne, if I ask you to show me the width of something, how would you do that? Ah. So how wide is that? It is this wide. It is stunning. Okay. So if we speak about the breadth of God's love, and he does this, what do we immediately think of? The cross. And this is where the breadth of God's love for us was shown in a very practical way. Where he stretched out his arms on the cross and said, man, I love you this much. But you know what's awesome about this? It's for this too. Because you go to hug someone, you don't go. True? You go hug someone, it's like, yeah, come on. All right? So we need to extend our arms, our lives. We need to, like he did, and accept people into our bosom. Right? But I think sometimes we do this walking with our hands in our pockets. You know, no love there. It's like, lost my eight. I'm just trying to get through here. Just lost my eight. I wonder what would happen if we start, you know, you're standing in a queue at bank. Turn around, you go, ah. You might get slapped. Probably, if it's another man's wife, the man will slap you. Yes, I will. But if we extend the love with our hands, with our hands, and spreading out our hands, we are showing the love of Christ in a very practical way. No, we're speaking about being the hands of Christ. And we need to extend our hands. We need to love in the way that he loves us. The love of God includes affection and affirmation. His approval of us has nothing to do with our behavior. It's so amazing. He said, while you were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still messing up, he died for us. And it has everything to do with what Jesus has done. It has everything to do with what Christ has done, not with what we've done. And I think sometimes we become so focused on what we've done rather on what he's done. And when he looks at you and me, he looks at us through the cross. He looks at you through the fact that Christ stretched out his hands and he died for you. Which begs the question, is how do I look at people? Do I look at them the same way as Jesus looks at me through the cross? When I look at those around me, do I understand that Christ loves them so much and therefore I can extend this breadth of his love to them? Say, come into the kingdom. His approval of you, he approves of you, he is pleased with you, you have his favor. Which is powerful in a world where people get, frowned upon so easily. This is the good news. That you are approved by God. He loves you. You know, no one of us came to Christ being perfect. We came to him and he works in our lives. Okay. So if we, now volgende slide. Okay. When we understand God's love and affection for us, we will extend it to others, which is true. So then I guess it begs the question again, how much of the love of God do you understand? And what do you extend? Affection means acceptance. Acceptance. So if God accepts us, he accepts us, and he doesn't expect us to do something or be a certain way or anything. He just accepts us. Which is quite powerful. He gives us attention. Attention means time. It means that, you know, I will pay attention to those that are not necessarily loved by society. It means that I will pay attention to someone because they are valued to Christ and because he loves them. And then affirmation. What happens if you affirm someone? Have you ever tried it? You know, in a society where condemnation is quite big, if you sit and you just affirm someone in something, what happens? The first thing I normally notice is they get the smile. So saying, man, I mean something here. You know, I value. And we need to affirm people in the fact that Christ loves them, that God has a plan for them. Etc., etc. There's so many things that we can actually speak into people's lives as we extend this love that he has for us. Now, the height of God's love to me is a difficult one, because how high is this love? How high is high? It is high. Very high. But Romans 12 verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is how high this love is. His thoughts is not our thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think the height of his love for us is immeasurable. And I think when we try and figure it out, we will come short. And that's why we need to continually renew our minds. We need to get the mind of Christ. We need to understand how he loves. Because the reality is we think, right? We think a lot. I think sometimes we think too much and we do too little. But in any case, if we get the mind of Christ, and we can apply that love in the way that he wants us to love. Not the way you think it should be done. In his ways that are higher than your ways, in his plans that are higher than your plans. If you take that love and you start applying it in that way, it's going to transform people's lives like crazy. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Yes, his thoughts are higher than ours, but he is, has given us the Holy Spirit to teach us concerning all things. Therefore, I don't think we have an excuse in applying this love in our daily lives. So, the dimensions of God's love is that he will love you. His love will go to any length to save someone. You know, and I can relate that to being the first one that we spoke about, the feet of Christ. Is that your feet will take you there to take the gospel there. Scripture says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So let your feet take the gospel somewhere. Not be planted behind your desk or at home. But let's take this love and let's walk the length that God wants us to walk to share this love. Because the fact is that this love that God has for us is for every person. Is the depth of his love is to reconcile man to him. And just that thought alone, if there's anything that should create urgency in your life, is the fact that his heart is to reconcile people to him. Laurette shared a very interesting WhatsApp with me this morning about a lady that saw a vision and you know how this was 1969, and how the world is kind of progressing towards this end. And I think the one thing that after reading that, you know, obviously except for thinking, man, this is hectic, was God's heart is to reconcile man to him. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? You know, we can get very passionate about a deadline. There's a deadline in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is coming. There are those that don't know. We need to minister. We need to speak. We need to spread the gospel. And then his love is open to all. Open to all. Just come as you are. Come receive the love. And let's not, in our own prejudice and biasness, prevent us from sharing the gospel. May we share it passionately, because there's a deadline. Sorry, see funny here. Any case, and let us have the mind of Christ. Let us expand the way that we think on what God's plan actually is for humanity. Let us apply this love that he speaks about. Let's get the revelation of this love so that we can walk in that fullness of who God is, so that we can actually love in the same way that he wants to love those that are around us. Ephesians 3 in verse 20 and 21, it starts like this. It ends like this. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Now it's funny. We quote the scripture when we face stuff, not true. When we go trials and tribulations, then we're like, ja, maar die Here kan enigiets doen, nou broer. I mean, he can do anything. But he's writing it in the context of this love that God wants to show to every person on this earth. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. So let's trust God that he is able to do far more abundantly then you can ask or think with your life for his glory. Anything that you can ask or think. And let's passionately pursue God. Let's get into the revelation of who God is so that we can walk in that fullness of him. Romans speaks of, let us not walk by the flesh, but let us walk by the Spirit. Let's get into this love and let's spread it freely. Freely you have received. Now freely give it. So again, I put the challenge on the table. Go share your testimony with the people around you. Go tell them of this awesome God that you serve. Because you know, nobody can argue with your testimony. Nobody. Why? Because you were there and you saw what God did. So you can share it passionately with those that are around you. And let's spread this love of God. Let's throw open our arms. Let's invite people in so that they can receive the love of Christ in a greater way. Amen?